Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I had this desire to be a mommy someday, and when I got that wedding ring on my finger, the first thing I wanted to know was, where were my children? But once I started having children, I started to panic because I had no well with which to draw from of, how do I be a mommy after Jesus' own heart? How do I love my kids in a Christian way when I had absolutely no example to follow as a child?
Confused? You won't be.
But what should I do?
All right, let's not get panicked. We're going to look at the situation calmly and objectively.
Well, this sounds like it's gonna be hard.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, APU's newest building is the Segerstrom Science Center. It earned LEED Gold certification from the United States Green Building Council for its green design and construction features. It actually is a green building. It's really nice. It's very, very nicely put together, and it's one of the state-of-the-art buildings that you see on Southern California University campuses. And with more and more of these state universities all across the country having a tougher time meeting the demands of students, it's nice to know there's a school like Azusa Pacific. Wherever you're listening to us right now, APU has online programs that you can take advantage of as well. Something to think about if you're determining what your next step is educationally, either for one of your kids or possibly for yourself if you're looking for graduate level or degree completion. We highly recommend going to apu.edu. Speaking of education, let's get into part one right now with Mary DeMuth and Jim Burns talking about raising authentic kids in a postmodern world here on Homeward.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and very excited today to have Mary DeMuth with us. We're talking about raising authentic kids in a postmodern world. So often on this program, we say you got to become a student of the culture. Well, that's the kind of thing we're going to talk about. How do you help kids who are in this culture and are engaging in this culture still be Christ followers? Mary, welcome to our program. Great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Speaker, a novelist, and the author of nonfiction as well, Ordinary Mom, Extraordinary God, Building the Christian Family You Never Had, and also the book we're talking about today, Authentic Parenting in a Postmodern Culture. Great conversation, I'm sure we're going to have today. You know, you actually survived a pretty amazingly dysfunctional home yourself. What was that all about?
It was about a lot of things. I grew up in a home that had a lot of drugs, alcohol. There was a lot of neglect. My father died when I was 10 years old. My mother had remarried several times. It was definitely a time in my life where I never knew that I was secure or safe. And I made one of those little vows as a child that if anyone was going to take care of me, it was going to be me who had to take care of me. But I also had this longing as a little girl. I had these discarded dolls and old stuffed animals that were in differing series of neglect. And I just loved them and wanted to be their mommy. And I had this desire to be a mommy someday. And when I got that wedding ring on my finger, the first thing I wanted to know was, where were my children? But once I started having children, I started to panic because I had no well with which to draw from of, how do I be a mommy after Jesus' own heart? How do I love my kids in a Christian way when I had absolutely no example to follow as a child?
You know, a lot of people say that. And what's fascinating, they'll even say it if they were raised in a Christian home. They still say, mm-hmm. You know, we didn't really have good role models. So what did you do to begin that process? Obviously, it's a process. No one is the perfect parent. But what did you do to begin the process of kind of moving your kids in that direction, and more so moving your life and your husband's life in that direction as well?
Well, I definitely started with mentors. And those were, you know, the big fathers of the family movement, like James Dobson and Dennis Rainey. I just read every single book that I could get my hands on.
You can really have paper mentors.
I call them
paper mentors, and,
exactly.
And that's a neat thing. That's,
yeah.
You're going to be a paper mentor to many people with this book as well as other books. Sure.
That's right. And so I did. I read all that. But as as I evolved as a parent, I realized something, and that's kind of the heart of the message of this next book, was that I could impose all of these parenting methods upon myself from the outside, but I wasn't changing on the inside. And that the key to beautiful and great and Jesus-y parenting is to get right with Him, to love Him, to have Him change and heal my heart from the inside out. And then in that process, then I am then a better parent after the healing that's been taking place.
And yet you say in your book that you really had kind of a struggle of trying to be the perfect parent. I keep meeting mm-hmm. people who struggle so much because they think there is a perfect parent out there and they want to be one, so they almost overcompensate. Did you find yourself doing that?
Absolutely, and I compared myself to others all the time, and I would watch people incessantly because I was so insecure from the past that I would watch people, and then I would feel like I would never measure up, not knowing that, of course, everybody went home after they were kind to their children in the store who was throwing things out of the cart, but when they got home, it was like, ah! Right. But I just only saw the outside and felt very inferior growing up.
No, I think a lot of it, especially coming from a home like the kind of home that you came from where you didn't even feel safe. That's amazing. You know, it's not a safe world today. No. Kids aren't as secure. We are not the same. It's not the same generation. There are scarier things out there. And a lot of parents today and a lot of Christian parents today try to place their kids in kind of a bubble. Mm-hmm. But you're saying that isn't the way to do it.
No, it's not. And I think there's almost a cult of protectionism in the United States where we believe that to love our children well is to protect them against anything. And we create these little Christian communities where we have Christian t-shirts and Christian soda and Christian mints and Christian this and Christian that. And we create a Christian subculture. Once our children leave that bubble, then they're faced with 10,000 more things that they were never prepared to face. So my heart is to, yes, when your children are young, protect them. But as they grow into those teen years, you have to begin to release them and train them to love and understand the world that they're in. Because when they get to college, they're going to fall apart if they're not prepared.
You use the word coach.
Yes.
What do you mean by, you know, we kind of move toward coaching our kids. What's the difference between coaching our kids and protecting our kids?
The difference is we start when our children are really young as highly directive. We're not going to coach our toddlers. They need to, you know not to stick their finger in the light socket. So we're not going to coach them and say, well, how do you feel about, you know. But as they get older and into the 10, 11, 12 tweener years, we begin to facilitate their growth by asking them great questions and finding out what their personal goals are. So an example of that would be someone, maybe a child wants to go to a certain college. They're in high school and they want to go to this great college. A coach would say, well, how are you going to get there? What kind of grades do you need to get into that college? What kind of SAT score do you need to have? And then encourage and coach the child along the way. If the child fails, you can jump alongside and say, oh, well, your goal was this. I'm going to cheer for you. But what are you going to do to reach that goal? A highly directive parent would say, okay, you want to go to Yale. Here's the things that you need to do. I'm going to make sure that you do them. So it's just a different perspective that you're coming alongside your child, cheerleading your child, but they are the ones that are initiating their own growth, and you are just coming alongside as a coach.
Now, for a controlling parent, that's a tough one.
Yes.
Because in some ways what you're doing is relinquishing
your kids
to God, but you're also relinquishing your control to the world, which is mm-hmm. the scary place that we're all worried about. Now, you used a quote in there that was a quote from James that says, engage but stay pure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and I circled that because I believe that, but I don't think that's so easy to do. Mm-hmm. What's a practical way of helping them engage, yes, in the culture, but still stay pure in that same culture?
I think a lot of that has to do with the kind of relationship you have with your child. So our children go to public schools. They come home every day. They come and sit around our dinner table and we talk and we engage with one another. So they're out there in the world. They're rubbing shoulders with all sorts of people. And then we are able to debrief them and talk through and let them have their opinions. And we work through some of those issues. So they're engaged and yet they're pure. Our heart as parents is to create the kind of homes that kids are wildly enthusiastic about coming home to.
That's really, really good.
And just creating that haven, you know, that kids need. And that then becomes that base of purity so that they can move from that base of purity out into the impure world and then come back and retreat and kind of get picked up and helped and loved through the midst of that.
We've got to keep talking about that. But I want to take a phrase that you just said. They come back home to the dinner table. And one of your phrases is we parent around the dinner table, and really what you call conversational parenting. And in some ways, that's what you're talking about. It's just through conversations you would. And that's the postmodern way. That's the postmodern way, whether it be speaking or whatever else. That's not bad. It's actually great. And kids learn by them talking, not by us just lecturing.
Yes, it's amazing how much, even I, you know, that's how I am. I learn more by processing out loud than I do with a preacher, you know, telling me something. But if I'm interacting, then I'm learning more.
Right. You know, it's funny. I was telling somebody yesterday, they were saying, what's the difference between some of my, Jim, books that you write right now? And I said, well, actually, they're a bit more conversational and they're kind of trying to make dialogue happen. And I hadn't thought about the fact, but actually, that's very good parenting, too. Kids learn more when they talk than when you talk. However, you got to still give them morals. You've got to give them the lead. You still have to lead there, but they've got to kind of discover it, don't they?
They do. And I think that goes back to the importance of parents being authentic. You know, we talk about kids being authentic, but if kids see that parents are not living out the words that they are speaking, then when they get to college, it becomes a real problem because they've seen that dichotomy. But they catch our DNA when they see it in action. It's not that we have the Bible memorized. It's that we're actually living out those crazy commandments that Jesus gave us in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, we're actually doing that. We're giving mercy to those who need mercy. They watch that, they see that, and they follow it when they see that we mean what we say.
That's great input. I want to come back and talk about authentic parenting right after this break. Mary DeMuth with us. We're talking about raising authentic kids in a postmodern world. Great book, Authentic Parenting in a Postmodern Culture. Roger?
Yeah, it's interesting to see where the culture has gone. And as parents, sometimes it can be a little daunting, but we're getting some good counsel today from Mary DeMuth here on the Homeward Broadcast, talking about this issue of raising authentic kids in a postmodern world. If you want more information about Mary's book, go to homeward.com, look at the radio broadcast listing. You'll see her name is hotkeyed, as we say. You go ahead and click on her name. It takes you right to her website. You can learn more about this resource. Now, as a parent, you may be saying to yourself, wow, the world has gotten so weird. I don't like the postmodern era that we're living in, and I am just losing all sorts of confidence that I can be the kind of parent my kids are looking for. Well, we have good news for you. You can be confident, and that's because Dr. Jim Burns has written a book teaching you how to do so, how to be a confident parent. The book is called Confident Parenting, and if you'd like more information on how you can order a copy of Jim's book, Confident Parenting, when you do, from homeward.com, by the way, just go to homeward.com. When you order that book from our online resource center, a portion of the proceeds will go to support our ministry. And here at the end of 2012, we would love to not only make sure that you get it, but also receive the gift as well. So check that out online at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Jacob, my son, I know you're just a couple of days old, but I think it's time you and I had a man-to-man talk. Now, I want to be the best father I can be for you, and that's why I'm going to give you everything your heart desires.
Dad, that sounds great and all, but you know what I really want? Limits.
My dad made me do chores and keep my room clean. He was so mean. But you and me, we're going to be best friends, okay, Jake?
But Dad, I'm going to have lots of friends in my life. I need you to teach me how to be a man. I need limits.
Let's face it, from the moment we're born, we all need clearly defined limits and consequences for our behavior. Children especially need things clearly laid out. You can ask for a free copy of our tip sheet called 5 Reasons Why Your Kids Want You to Set Boundaries for Them. You can download a copy when you go to our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. The reason we do Homeward for conversations just like this. Mary DeMuth is with us. We're talking about raising authentic kids in a postmodern world. Not an easy job for any of us, including moi. Mary DeMuth is a speaker, a novelist, and the author of Ordinary Mom, Extraordinary God. Great phrase. Building the Christian Family You Never Had. And Mary and her husband, Patrick, by the way, and their 3 children helped pioneer a church in southern France. And they're back after a couple of years and live in the Dallas, Texas area. Mary, right before the break, we talked about authenticity. And it's a word I use all the time, but I also know I scare people with authenticity because they go, well, I'm not perfect. You just see me yell at my kids, or, you know, my husband and I don't have the perfect marriage. We have a high maintenance marriage or whatever it may be. Authenticity doesn't mean perfection. It really means more about being honest, open, transparent, real, but at the same time, moving in a direction that you really hope you're growing in your faith.
Right. It doesn't mean, like I had someone say to me, she would spew on people and then she'd say, well, you're just not letting me be authentic. But authenticity doesn't mean just saying everything that pops into your mind. That would be a very interesting movie, by the way, if we had someone that had to say everything that came to their mind. But
scary.
It would be
frightening. That's a frightening movie.
I'm sure someone from Hollywood's listening.
Sure.
Gonna do that. No, authenticity is the ability to admit when you've done something wrong. And I grew up in a home where a parent never, ever acknowledged any wrong. And so, therefore, I grew up very...
there were drugs and
yes,
illicit
funny?
Behavior like crazy,
yes.
But they never said they did anything wrong.
No, and I was always at fault. Like, if someone yelled at me, it was always my fault. And I have learned with my own children that the greatest thing you can do is just to say, hey, that's not the mommy that Jesus wants me to be. I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm trying to work harder on this, but I blew it. Please forgive me.
That was not about you. That was about me.
So that they know it's not, you know, they're not in this crazy making house where everything is their fault and they're supposed to be little perfect adults and we have these unrealistic expectations of them.
No, great input. Earlier in our conversation, you talked about having your home as a haven. And to me, that's a big deal. And a haven isn't always perfect, but a haven is a place that kids want to come back to over and over again. That takes amazing intentionality. What exactly do you mean by creating a haven in your home?
Well, it's creating the kind of atmosphere where kids can ask questions and not feel like that they're being dumb or they'll be ridiculed, where kids can just know that no matter what happens, no matter what choices they make, they're still loved. And I've created a little article on my website, How to Make Your Home a Haven. So if you just go to marriedtomuth.com and click on free stuff, your listeners can just download that article.
Haven. It's just, you know, it just seems to me that it's kind of more setting a tone and an atmosphere and an environment. But at the same time, you still have to discipline your kids. You've got three kids. So, you know, obviously they're not perfect.
No.
So you have to discipline and discipline with consistency.
Absolutely.
How do you discipline with consistency and yet at the same time bring grace into the home?
That's a good question. I think actually those two things are not in competition with one another, that actually kids really love to know that they are safe and that part of being a haven is knowing where the boundaries are. And as they get older, then, you know, we relax them a little bit. We massage them a little bit. But when they are young and when they're getting to those preteen years, we definitely say, you can do this and you can't do that. I love you so much, but because I love you, I'm going to help you and guide you and show you where the boundaries are.
No, that's really good. You know, I want to talk about culture here. A lot of what you write on here is about culture. And in many ways, most of us complain and whine about the culture. You said a phrase that really kind of caught my attention. It said, perhaps the culture shift is a blessing in disguise. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think when you're placed off kilter, you have to rely more on Jesus and you have to trust him more. And I think what happens is when we are in the midst of this cultural shift, and we don't even know really where it's going to go, but it is disconcerting for many Christians because we're not in the modern era. We're going into the postmodern era. In that, then we have to begin to trust and try to find the redemptive analogies within our own new culture. We have to trust him more. We don't know exactly all the prescribed methods that might have worked 25 years ago as parents don't work today. Well, how do we do that? We have to trust in Jesus. And I think the best parent is the one who goes to Jesus first in the midst of maybe bewilderment. And in that reliance, then we are better parents.
Now, these kids that you're talking about who have moved into a postmodern era. And nobody's going to disagree with that. They may disagree with certain philosophies of postmodernism or whatever, but they're not going to disagree with the fact that it's a different world. What it is it's a different worldview. So Jim Burns grows up in a home that was not a church-going home and whatnot. But in some ways, my worldview, when I was growing up in the shadows of Disneyland here in California, I realize you're from Texas, but my parents had more of a biblical worldview than the worldview that is out there in many even Christian homes today. How do we help our kids in the midst of this culture build this biblical worldview where they're not in that bubble, but they're kind of taking that biblical worldview into the world in a positive way and actually making it?
I think a lot of that has to do with how we live our lives. Do we truly believe what Jesus said? And are we living that out? One of the best things and most weird counterintuitive things we did as parents was uproot our entire family and move to France. And that was countercultural. It was counterintuitive. It was for the kingdom of God. And there's something that was birthed in our children. They saw their parents do this sacrifice. And of course, it was a sacrifice for them as well. But because we did that, our children are whole different breed of children now. My son, who is 12 years old, is oddly passionate about digging wells in Africa and even helped fund a well in northern Ghana. We went there this year, and this was all his initiation. We had nothing to do with it other than talking about it one day around the dinner table. And now here he is flying to the other side of the world, meeting villagers and singing and dancing in the midst of a village that he is helping create life.
That's pretty interesting. I say you packed up, you went to France for a couple of years. You actually put your kids in public school there, where there was atheism and basically a culture that was almost anti-God and definitely anti-Christian.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you put them there, but your kids learned some good stuff there.
They did, and it was very counterintuitive because I said that word so many times, sorry. It was wild because we were receiving emails from people back in the States saying, you need to pull your kids out of that school. You need to homeschool your kids. Well, in France, it's pretty much illegal to homeschool, so we couldn't do that. There was no other school we could send our children to. Plus, we were church planters. We wanted to be part of the community. And we just had to pray for our kids. When they would lock the door when they walked through the iron gate to get into the school, and the only thing that could go beyond that door was our prayers. And we had to just love our kids through the midst of that. And that's, I think, where the whole idea of Haven came from. They went to this crazy place where people were mean to them, made fun of them, scorned them, hurt them physically. And they would come home to our house and we would let them just be themselves and we would love them. And that has changed their lives.
And you know what? That can happen in France. It can also happen
Absolutely. In
the hometown USA as well. Mm. We don't have much time left, but as you were talking about a missionary, I know that one of the phrases that you said is, when we're thinking about culture, we have to, as parents, almost be missionaries to this culture. Mm-hmm. How do parents do that, and what advice would you give to them?
Well, we have to exegete the culture. We have to understand the culture that we're living in and thinking of, it makes sense. I'm going to go to France. I'm going to understand that culture. But we don't think as parents that we need to understand the culture that our children face every day. It is critical that we understand. And the only way is to by engaging with the culture or engaging with our children who are the great pioneers of understanding the culture for us. They will translate it to us if we ask them and if we're willing to learn.
That's a great thing. We have to be, as parents, continually willing to learn. And actually, we can learn a lot from our kids because we can ask them to help us understand the culture. How
yes.
interesting. Great input today. You've got to come back because we've got to keep talking about it.
Sounds good.
Mary DeMuth, what a privilege to have her with us today. Raising Authentic Kids in a Postmodern World. Roger?
If you'd like to learn more about Mary's book, we encourage you to go to homeward.com, by the way, HOMEWORD.com. Of course, her website is just her name, marydemuth.com, and you can learn more about her ministry there as well. And this is a challenging season for us as parents because our kids and their values are being just tested dramatically. And you may be asking yourself, how can I possibly keep instilling godly, Christ-centered, biblical values into the life of my kids in this postmodern culture? Well, Dr. Jim Burns has written a book called Faith Conversations for Families that will help you do just that, mom and dad. You can be more proactive in initiating these faith conversations with your kids, and you can do so by just reading this book. You don't have to have a seminary degree to actually do this. Just read Faith Conversations for Families. You can order a copy directly from our online resource center today at Homeward. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to support our ministry. So check us out online at HOMEWORD.com. Again, the name of the book is Faith Conversations for Families. You know, Jim, speaking of these conversations that we have about faith with our kids, there's another area that parents now have a resource to use to talk about the area of money and stewardship with their kids.
Well, you're right. You know, many parents have the talk with their kids about the dangers of drug and alcohol abuse mm-hmm. or sex and sexuality. Yeah. But when it comes to money, that's one area that sometimes we parents miss altogether. Mm. And we sort of just breeze over that, and yet it's so critical for so many families. Well, many kids only think about money when they need some.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's why I'm excited about this brand new group of tip sheets that we've created to help parents and kids in this particular area, stewardship. As parents, we need to be intentional about teaching our kids about stewardship, and then we need the consistency to teach them how to live these principles out, both in our lives and in their lives.
Yeah.
These new tip sheets are designed to be conversation starters that you can use with your kids about crucial topics like savings, spending, investing, and even giving.
These are very, very practical resources here. And our thanks again to our friends at Steadfast Companies. They're a leading real estate investment company. They work in real estate investment trusts. But they also, because of the fact that they are a Christian company that runs off of godly principles, they also have partnered with us to put together these tip sheets that you can use with your kids to help teach them about money. They take biblical principles, kind of put it in a story format, and you can read them, just download them. Mom and dad go through them, read them, make sure you're comfortable sharing them with your kids first, and then go ahead and teach your kids these biblical principles about what Jim mentioned, giving and saving and spending and investing. Go to homeward.com in the articles and media section. Hit that tab. Then in the box where it says get answers, just write the word steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T. And then the tip sheets will come up and you can read them there online if you want to. Download them, print them out, use them any way you wish. But get those tip sheets about teaching your kids about money. You can get them today from Homeward. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.